I believe in the Lord for greater health, for healing in my body. You know, this is just a little thing. Everybody's at different places in their faith and what you believe God for and what's important to you. And just understand that. But I'm believing the Lord. One of the things I'm believing the Lord for is my eyesight to be restored completely. You know, I'm a little bit bullheaded. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. But I just, you know, several years ago, my eyes started kind of going downhill, and you know, I went to the eye doctor, and he says, "Well, you're 48. Just welcome to 48, buddy." And I just, you know, I just couldn't receive that, and I have a real hard time with that. But anyway, I had a little bitty Bible. It's a full Bible, but it's about this big, and I used to preach from that, and I had to give it up a couple of years ago because I couldn't read it anymore. And yesterday, I was reading out of it to my wife, and my eyes are not completely healed. I'm kind of like the, you know, it's kind of a process, like the man who told Jesus, the blind man, Jesus prayed for him, and he asked him if he could see, and he said, "I see men as trees walking," and Jesus laid hands on him and prayed for him again, and he was completely healed. And my eyes aren't completely restored, but I just praise the Lord, they're getting better. And I'm believing the Lord for that. And some of you might think that's silly, but you know, some people, again, they'll just reason it away. Well, it must be eating more carrots. But you know what? If that's how God heals me, that's fine with me. But see, we need to give glory to God. When God does something good in our life, it's not just chance or happenstance or an accident or just one of those things. Don't reason it away, but give glory to God. I tell you, God does miracles, and we need to acknowledge that and be sure that He gets all the glory for it. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going to begin a series titled, Into His Presence. I'd like for you to pray with me. Father, we just ask for your help this morning, Lord. Help us to understand. I pray the Holy Spirit would just give us that spiritual insight to see spiritual truth that our carnal minds can't grasp. Lord, open understanding. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would just be receptive. And Father, that we would truly be doers of your word. I pray, Lord, that we would forever be changed by the living word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. In this series, Into His Presence, I believe that in the next few weeks that we're going to be entering into deeper levels of intimacy in our worship, in our encounter, in our experience with the Lord. You know, there is a special manifest presence of God when people gather together for worship. Now, I don't want to take for granted that everybody understands this, so I want to explain. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. The Bible makes it clear that wherever you go, the lowest depths of the earth to the highest mountain peak, God is already there. He's everywhere. And yet there are places where God's presence is much stronger. There are degrees of His presence. I can assure you that the strongest presence of the Lord that we might ever encounter in a worship service or personal prayer time here on this earth doesn't even compare to what we're going to experience when we get to heaven. The glory, the power, that unlimited presence of God that we'll experience there. But there are varying degrees of His presence. You see, Jesus is with us all the time. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He is with every believer. Everywhere you go, Jesus is with you. And yet He also said, "Where two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So there's something special when people gather together in His name. He said, "There am I in the midst of them." There's a special presence that comes. I want you to understand, when you worship Him, when you praise Him, there is a special presence of the Lord that's there. The Scripture says that He inhabits the praises of His people, of Israel. He inhabits the praises. And so as we praise Him, the presence of God becomes very real. In the Old Testament, at one point when they dedicated the temple and they were all worshiping and praising Him, the glory of the Lord, the presence of God came so strong in that place that it says that the priest could not even stand to minister. I'm telling you, church, God is everywhere. But there are varying degrees of His presence. We want to experience Him in a fresh new way. We want to experience Him more than ever before. And I have to tell you that the God that we serve is so vast, so infinite. If you think that you've already experienced Him, you're missing it. You're just starting. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know Him. We need that kind of a desire to know God, to experience Him, to get into His presence and really experience all of Him. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16 and 11, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence, fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. I can tell you that in the presence of the Lord, there are pleasures that nothing in this world can compare to. Joy, pleasure. Whereas in His presence, people are made whole. People are healed. People are restored. Listen, in His presence, we're changed from glory to glory. You get in the presence of the Lord and you are refreshed and strengthened. The Bible says times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. See, we want His presence. Amen? I want you to understand today that many times as we pray and we desire the presence of God, there is this attitude that maybe God will arbitrarily just decide to show up. You know, wouldn't that be awesome, God, if you just decide to show up? And people seem to have the attitude that God is up there in heaven just saying, well, nah, not today. Well, okay, maybe a little bit. I'm telling you, we're missing it. It is available to us. Now, we pray for His Spirit to be poured out, and He's promised that He'll pour His Spirit out on all flesh. And there are times when the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell on them. But you need to understand that the presence of God is available to us, that there is a way to enter into His presence. In the Old Testament, they knew where to go to get into the presence of God. They would go to the temple, and in the outer court, there was a measure of the presence of God there where the people were ministered to. In the inner court, the priest would minister unto the Lord. But then there was the Holy of Holies where the high priest would only go once a year. And Jesus, our high priest, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that He has opened a new and living way for us, that by His blood He has made the way so that every one of us can come into the very Holy of Holies to worship, to have that intimacy with God. I'm telling you, not very many believers take that privilege often enough. Church, we want to go into His presence. We want to find out. We want to learn how. We want to pursue that in our lives. That Holy of Holies has been opened to you by the blood of Jesus. It's by faith that you enter in. You got to enter. We enter. This is where it starts. We enter His gates with thanksgiving. Now, if you have your Bible, you might turn over to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. We enter His gates with thanksgiving. Most believers are so far removed from a heart of thanksgiving that they struggle even to be thankful when they come into worship in the presence of God. Listen, even when we come to worship, the attitude a lot of the time seems to be, what's in it for me? It's all about me. We're living in a day where the theme of the church is to be seeker sensitive. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's McDonald's church. Have it your way. Whatever you want, okay, that's the way it'll be. I want to tell you, this is not politically correct in church to say this, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And until we understand that, we're never going to be really satisfied and fulfilled in our worship, because it's when we are in His presence that we find fullness of joy. Pleasures evermore. See, some people get it. They get it all mixed up. It's not about the songs. It's not about the style of music. It's not, listen, it's about Him. Psalms 100. Well, let's just read the whole thing. The whole thing? We don't want to read all that scripture. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. I'm telling you, these verses are full of commands and exhortations to us. He starts off with this one, make a joyful noise, make a joyful shout to the Lord. He doesn't say come in with a long face and solemn and quiet. He said, make a joyful noise. Let me tell you something. God wants you to be happy. Isn't that nice? He really does. He doesn't want you to serve Him with a long face. He doesn't want you to be sad and upset and downcast. No, He wants you to be glad. He says, make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Church, it's not enough for us to show up and just say, okay, somebody move me. Somebody stir me. Go ahead. I dare you to try. No, listen. We ought to come ready to enter into the presence of the Lord. How do you enter in? There's only one way. You got to enter the gates with thanksgiving. It is not a literal physical gate, of course. We don't have any gates out here that you've got to come through. But I'm telling you, to begin to come into the presence of God, you have to enter those gates with thanksgiving. That's the way you begin to enter in. Listen, it tells us that He is good. There's a lot of people, I think, that show up for church on Sunday morning in churches all across America that are showing up to worship a different God than the one that's described here. He is good. We're the sheep of His pasture. He's watching over us. He's taking care of us. He's a good God. He's merciful. I tell you, we should come in with thanksgiving, rejoicing in the Lord, making a joyful noise. Sure is quiet in here. Y'all already got your joyful noise out, huh? Oh, but church, we have to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You know, here's part of the key. In verse 3, it says that you know that the Lord, He is God. It's He that made us. Here's the point. You have to know something. It's a matter of perspective. You got to get your attitude right. You got to know that God is good, that He's for you, that He's the one that's taking care of you. Change the way you think and know that He is God, that He blesses us. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I want to tell you this morning, it has to be a lifestyle. You can't just show up on Sunday morning for church and really give God the glory that's due Him. No, it needs to be something that we live in our life every day. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here's God's will for you. In everything you give thanks. In everything you give thanks. In difficult circumstances, in trying times, when things don't go right, you give thanks. See, anybody can give thanks when everything goes right. How many of you had one of those days this week where everything went right? Nobody? Oh, we had a couple in the first service. Y'all must be missing it somewhere. I didn't have one of those this week either yet. I'm telling you, if we're going to give thanks, it's not going to be because everything's perfect. It's not going to be because we're just having a great day. No, it's because God is God and He is good. And because there are so many blessings in our lives, yes, you'll always be able to find something wrong. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. So I want to encourage you. It has to be a lifestyle that you live every day, no matter what the situation, what the circumstances, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you. You know, Romans chapter 1 describes how that man went from knowing God to being totally depraved. And the first step in getting away from God is they became ungrateful. It says, although they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful. And that was the first step for them getting away from God. I want to tell you that I see that as a pastor, that over and over and over again, when people become complaining and resentful and bitter, they get out of church and they get away from God. It's the start. When you're no longer thankful and grateful to God for the blessings in your life, it's the start of you getting away from God. It has to be a lifestyle, something that you live every day. You know, a lot of people today, now in this generation, where there's so much ungratefulness, there are some who are doing studies and research on gratefulness. And here's what they found, that it actually makes you feel better. Well, that shouldn't be really much of a surprise. But they found that it will cause you to feel better mentally, socially, even physically. That it will make you more healthy. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'll tell you, it's really awesome when science finally figures out what the Bible's been telling us for thousands of years. But you know what? If some people don't believe the Bible, maybe they'll believe research and studies. One psychologist said, you can't be depressed and grateful at the same time. It'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? Hard to be grateful for the blessings of God and stay depressed. I tell you, if we'll just be grateful, what an impact it'll have on our life. But it has to be lifestyle. Listen. They said this. This is what one of the psychologists also said, is that it has to be something you live every day. If you just do it once a year, it doesn't do you any good. If you go to the gym once a year, does it do you any good? No. No, it's when you consistently do that that you reap the rewards of that. And they found the same thing is true in their research, that people that give thanks once a year, it doesn't have any impact on their life. But when people are grateful people and it's lifestyle, it affects their health, it affects their relationships, it affects their mental health, it affects every part of their life. So I want to encourage you, it has to be a lifestyle, and that's what the Bible lays out for us. It's how we're supposed to live. It's how we're supposed to pray. The Bible tells us in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. That's how you pray. Listen, every time you pray, you need to pray with thanksgiving. You say, well, when God answers my prayer, I'll give Him thanks. Well, you should give Him thanks then also. But if you believe that God is going to answer your prayer, then go ahead and give Him thanks. And if you don't believe God is going to answer your prayer, then quit wasting your breath, because He's not. Jesus said, what thanks soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. And if you believe you're going to receive them, then go ahead and thank Him for them. Be grateful and give God thanks. It's got to be a lifestyle. I'm telling you, we need to show this everywhere we go. We need to live this out. You need to start giving God thanks over your meals, whether you're at home, in a restaurant, or in the cafeteria at school. Oh, well, I don't want to put on a show. Who are you kidding? Bow your head and give thanks to God. You don't have to make a scene. You don't have to put on a show. But give thanks to God. Famous preacher, Brother Ironside, was in a restaurant, crowded restaurant one day. Sorry, I had to pick that up. Y'all kept looking at it. Not really. He was in a crowded restaurant one day. And it was so crowded, there were no tables left. And so a man approached his table and he said, "Would you mind if I sat at your table?" And he said, "No." Well, when the food came, Brother Ironside bowed his head and gave thanks for his food. And when he raised his head again, the man said, "What's the matter? You got a headache?" He said, "No, I was just giving thanks for the food." And the man was kind of indignant and he said, "Well, I work hard for my money, I earn it. And I'm not going to give thanks for something that I earned and paid for myself. When my food comes, I just start right in." Brother Ironside said, "Yeah, that's the way my dog does." You might think about that the next time you're tempted to not give thanks for your food. Pause. Give God thanks. It has to be a lifestyle. Needs to be something that you're living every day. It's supposed to be saturated in our conversation. Listen to this from Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 4. It says there shouldn't be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. That should be our conversation style, that we are grateful people, that we're always giving God thanks. Listen to this from Colossians 3:17. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." That's lifestyle. Whatever you do in word or deed, you do it in His name and giving thanks. I tell you, we need to be giving God thanks all the time. It really is a way of life. Let me tell you, the secret to a happy life is not to get what you want, but it's to be thankful for what you have. Well, it's to want what you have. If you're going to live it as lifestyle, you're going to have to get the right perspective. That's really what it boils down to a lot of the time. The difference in thankful people and ungrateful people is just a matter of perspective. All of us have trouble. All of us have difficulty at times. How do we handle adversity? How do we deal with that? When the Bible says, "In everything, be thanks." Well, sometimes it's just perspective. I'm thankful that I pay taxes. I can tell y'all are excited about that. I'm thankful I pay taxes because that means I'm making some income. I'm making a living. Now, Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's." And some people don't like to do either. But anyway, moving right along, it's a matter of perspective. You know, I'm thankful when my clothes don't fit just right. That means I'm losing weight. Well, or maybe that means I'm putting the weight on, but anyway. I'm thankful when my house needs to be painted and the gutters need to be cleaned and the yard has to be mowed and the hedges trimmed. You know why? Because it means I got a house. I'm thankful when I park in that spot at the far end of the parking lot way out there by Lizzie's and walk all the way into church because it means I can walk. Well, it's just perspective. I'm thankful I hear that lady a couple of rows over in church singing off key real loud because it means my hearing is good. It's perspective. I'm telling you, we need to get the right perspective on life and all of the adversity and difficulties and things that happen. We need to see the good. It's so easy to always look on the dark side. We need to look on the bright side. Amen? You know, here's some perspective for you. They asked Bill Gates a few years back. They asked him, they said, "If you lost your eyesight," and I don't know, you know, reporters can come up with the weirdest stuff. But anyway, they said, "If you lost your eyesight, would you give all of your money, all of your billions to get your eyesight back?" And he said, "Yes." Now, if God blessed you with $50 billion, would you be thankful? Well, I figured y'all would shout for that. But anyway, if God blessed you with $1 million. Would you be thankful for that? Whoa, man, we'd do cartwheels. And none of it is worth your eyesight. I'm telling you, if you can see this morning how blessed you are, it's a matter of perspective. Sometimes our perspective just gets so skewed. And it keeps us from being thankful. And the end result is, listen to me, it keeps us from entering into His presence. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Here's a perspective for you. One man in Budapest, he goes to his rabbi and he says, "Rabbi, I'm living in a one-room house. There are 9 of us in this one-room house. I can't stand it anymore. I'm going crazy, packed into this one-room house with 9 of us in there." And the priest says, "Well, bring your goat inside." The man says, "What? That's crazy." He says, "Do what I say. Bring your goat inside. Keep the goat inside for 1 week and come back and see me." 1 week later, he comes back and he is really distraught. He says, "I can't stand it anymore. Now there's 9 of us. We got that goat in there. It stinks so bad. That goat is filthy." The priest said, "All right, put the goat outside now and come back and see me in another week." The man comes back and his face is full of cheer. He says, "Oh, it's wonderful to have that goat out of the house. We're so happy to have that stinking goat out of the house." I'm telling you, it is a matter of perspective. That's what it is. So many people in our country are ungrateful, don't realize how blessed we are, what we have, and especially the people of God, how much we should realize all that God has done for us, all the blessings we have in our life. Get the right perspective. All of us face times of hardship and difficulty and even tragedy, but it's a matter of perspective. You know, I heard this story about Corrie ten Boom. It's recorded in her autobiography. When she and her sister were in one of the Nazi death camps, they one day were humiliated. They stripped them down. And as these two girls were standing there stripped, naked, the thought came to Corrie ten Boom that Jesus was also stripped and hung on the cross. And she said to her sister, she said, "Betsy, they stripped him too. They took his clothes too. And I never even thanked him." And there in a Nazi death camp, stripped, humiliated. Now here's perspective for you. They were grateful. They were thankful for what Jesus had done for them. See, so many of us live this life with an attitude that we are thankful when God just blesses us each and every day. "Okay, God, what new blessings you got for me today? Let me see it. Let me tell you something. If God never does another thing for any of us, we should be thankful and live grateful lives every single day for what He has already done for us, for the suffering He went through, the price that He paid. Listen, the shame that He bore for our sin, we should be grateful every day if He never does another thing for us." I'm telling you, it is a matter of perspective. You know, it's really a matter of choosing. You got to choose to be grateful. We're living in an ungrateful world, an ungrateful generation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that one of the signs of the last days is that people will be ungrateful. And we are certainly living in that generation. But I want to encourage you that you can make a choice to be different. You got to go against the flow on this one because it's just the popular thing. Everybody likes to gripe and complain. But go against the flow and choose to be grateful. Choose to be somebody that expresses thanksgiving to God every day. Now, there's one story in the Bible that just illustrates this so well to me. It's in Luke chapter 17. And it is the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. Let me just read verses 11 through 19. It says, "He was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now here's a man that has been cleansed from leprosy. He's been made whole. I'm telling you, he has a reason to give thanks, doesn't he? He has a reason to glorify God. He has a reason to be excited, do we? You know, in the Bible, leprosy is a spiritual type of sin. Anybody here been cleansed? Anybody here been delivered? Anybody here been set free? I'm telling you, all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have something to be excited about. But this man, he wasn't the only one that was cleansed that day. No, there were 10 that were cleansed, and yet there was only one that came back. But you know, I want you to think about that. When somebody had leprosy in that society at that time, now the Bible says they stood afar off. They stood afar off because somebody with leprosy in that time was not allowed to be around other people. They couldn't even be with their own family. They couldn't come to worship. They were considered unclean. They couldn't have social contact except with other lepers. The disease was so disfiguring they would lose fingers or their ears, or and it would disfigure their face to where they weren't even recognizable. It affected every part of their life, their physical health, their social life, their family life. They couldn't work anymore. It affected every part of their life. And so when Jesus cleansed these men of their leprosy, it was a fantastic miracle. It was certainly something that somebody should be excited about and come back to give glory to God. But listen, where were the other 9? Jesus said, "Where are the other 9?" I want to tell you that I've seen it over and over and over in church where people get healed or people get their life put back together, or God blesses somebody with a job. God sets them free. And we can say, "Where are the other 9? You see, the first thing that this man did was he returned. He came back. Where are the other 9? You know, a lot of people just take for granted. I don't know, maybe they were going along the way and they said, "Well, I was already starting to get better. Well, you know, I was going to get this worked out for myself. You know, I didn't really need God, you know. I mean, I was going to get this under control. Well, you know, me and my wife, we just worked it out. We got things together, you know. Well, you know, I'm surprised I didn't get a job for now. It just happened." You know, there's a lot of ways that people reason away the miracles that God does. And I'm sure there was some fancy reasoning going on with those other 9, but for whatever reason, they didn't see any need to return and give thanks. Jesus says, "Where are the other 9? But this man, he came back and he called out in a loud voice. I think I'm mixing up the two verses there. He came back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. There it is. He glorified God. He gave God the glory and he knelt down at his feet and he gave him thanks. You got to make a choice to give God thanks. He deserves it. He's worthy of it. You know, that man 2,000 years ago, he was healed of his leprosy. Let's make it a little bit more current. Let's say that it's a man now who was delivered from such a drug addiction that it had destroyed his family, cost him his job. It was destroying his health. It was ruining his whole life. But Jesus set him free from drugs. Does that man have cause to come and to glorify God with a loud voice and to fall at his feet and to say, thank you? I tell you, he does. Now let's fast forward 20 years. 20 years, that man serves God and God blesses him and restores his family, restores his health, gives him a good job, blesses every part of his life. After 20 years, does that man have cause to give thanks to God? He's got more reason to thank God now than the day he was first delivered. I'm telling you, some of you, it might have been 20 years ago or 30 years ago that God set you free. You've got more cause to be thanking him now than you ever did before. Some of you say, oh, well, I've never been out in sin, never done those terrible things. You have the most reason to be thankful that God has kept you, that in his mercy and grace that he's kept you, that you didn't even have to go through that. What a blessing that is. But I'm telling you, we need to be thankful. Gratitude that's not expressed is ingratitude. Here's the next thing. It has to be expressed. Listen, it's so important that you express that gratitude. I remember one time somebody gave me and Carmen some Dallas Symphony tickets, and we were going to send them a thank you after we went. But the person got real upset because they didn't hear from us quickly, and they took that as ingratitude. And you know what? Really and truly, if it's not expressed, it's not really gratitude. It's when you express it. You know, that's why it's called thanksgiving. You got to give it. You have to express it. You got to say thank you. And I'm telling you, Jesus was impressed with this one man that returned to give thanks. And something else happened to this man. You know, the 10 were cleansed as they went their way. That means the leprosy was gone from their body. But when this man returned, Jesus said something else to this man. He said, your faith has made you whole. And when he said, your faith has made you whole, he didn't use the word cleansed. It's the word sozo that means saved, delivered, healed, made whole. I really believe that Jesus did something else in this man's life, that when he came to give thanks and he said, your faith has made you whole, I believe he restored him. He wasn't just cleansed. As the Bible says, he was made whole. Sometimes it's in that expression of thanksgiving as we come into his presence, I'm telling you, that he restores us and he makes us whole. This man expressed his gratitude to God. We need to tell God how much he means to us. We need to say it with our mouth. Hebrews 13, 15 says, the sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. Church, you got to express it to him. I know that all of us have different personalities, and we all express gratitude in different ways. And I want you to understand, this man came in and he glorified Jesus with a loud voice. Well, you might be quiet and reserved, but I want to tell you, you still need to give thanks. I'm not trying to elicit a certain response from you in worship or get everybody to do this or do that, except this: you need to express your gratitude to the Lord. Some people, you can buy them a pair of socks and they get all excited and jump up and down. Some people, you could give them a car and they'll just smile and say thank you. But however it is you express it, you need to express it. You know, in the presence of the Lord, people respond different ways. Some people get so visibly, demonstratively excited, and some people are very quiet and yet can be just as emotional. I know when I was 12 years old, I think I said 10 in the first service. That was wrong. And what's wrong with me? Pray for me. Anyway, when I was 12 years old, my parents picked me up from a camp, and as we were going home, they said, we bought you a horse. I was so excited. Absolutely could not express myself except my eyes welled up with tears and tears ran down my face. First time I ever cried because I was happy. Now, I know most 12-year-old boys would have been jumping up and down and bouncing around. But that was that was just part of my expression. And I'm still kind of that way. Now, I shout and I get excited. I jump up and down and I clap my hands and sing. I'm loud. I don't know if y'all, can y'all hear me back there? Anyway, I'm loud. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of times when I'm really, really full of gratefulness, it just overflows. But you know, however you express it, you got to express it to God. It's not Thanksgiving until you express it. You got to give it to Him. Give Him your thanks. I'll tell you, church, when we'll really enter in to Thanksgiving, enter in with Thanksgiving, then we begin to come into the presence of God. That's how you just begin. But that's the starting place, is that you enter into His gates with Thanksgiving. You want to get in the presence of God? You can't come before Him with a long face and sad and griping and complaining. No, you enter in with that thanksgiving of heart. I want to tell you this morning, if you need to be delivered this morning, Jesus can do that. If you need to be healed this morning, Jesus can do that. If you need to be restored this morning, Jesus can do that. Those of you that don't need to be, I'm telling you, you got something you need to be thankful for. Oh, we need to give Him the glory that's due Him. We need to be thankful. Give Him the praise that's due Him every time that we come to church. Live it as lifestyle. Give Him thanks in your prayer. Every day, throughout your day, in everything, you're giving thanks. But especially when we come together in corporate worship, we enter His gates with thanksgiving. Don't come in expecting somebody to stir you up, but come in ready to praise Him, to give Him thanks. I tell you, we need to be remind ourselves when we enter those doors back there, we're entering His gates with thanksgiving. Some people might not like the music. Some might. Some might not like the worship leaders. I'm telling you, it's not about the music. It's not about this singer or that singer. What it's about is Jesus. And we need to get our eyes on Him, and we need to give Him thanks every time that we come. That needs to be our focus. He deserves our thanksgiving, our praise, and our worship. Listen, you can come to church as you are, but you can't come into His presence without thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Amen. You got to acknowledge that He's been good to you. You got to give Him the thanks that's due Him. I want you to stand with me. And as we pray this morning, I want to... Now, here's a challenge for every person. I'm going to make this really simple. And you're going to realize how easy this is because I'm going to tell you a story. And then you're going to realize how easy this challenge is, all right? 31 years ago, on Sunday, before Thanksgiving, I didn't realize that it was Thanksgiving week. But I believed that I was supposed to go on a fast. And I went on a water-only fast on Sunday night and didn't eat anything that week. And not realizing that Thanksgiving was going to be that week. And man, was it tough when everybody was eating turkey and dressing, but I kept my fast. Now, it's not going to be that hard. I'm calling you to a fast, but not a food fast. I'm calling you to a complaining fast. It's not going to be as easy as you think. You're going to have to take it hour by hour. Can I make it this hour without saying one complaining, griping thing? Can I make it this hour keeping a grateful heart? Can I make it another hour and another? For some of you, it's going to be a real trial in the morning when you head out in rush hour traffic. I'm so thankful I got a car to drive. So thankful. Come on now. You can do it. I want to call you to a thanks or to a complaining fast for Thanksgiving week, all right? I challenge you to do that in Jesus' name. You see, you can't really become grateful if you're complaining all the time. You got to get that out of your life. I really believe this. You do it until Thursday, make it through Thursday without complaining. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. You'll never want to go back to that old griping, complaining, negative mentality again. And I believe next Sunday, we're going to have such a celebration in the presence of God because we're coming in with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. Amen. As we pray this morning, I want our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, that you are leading us. You are taking us into deeper levels of worship, into your presence. Father, I ask you for that. I'm believing you for that. Lord, that we as your people are going to enter in. I know that's your will for us. And Father, I pray that this week will be a different kind of week. Lord, for every person here, I pray that they'll just begin to see things in a new light. They'll see your blessings all around. Oh, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we'll just walk it and talk it everywhere we go. We'll talk about the goodness of our God. We'll lift you up and give thanks to you. We'll not be ashamed, Lord, but we'll glorify you in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those that are struggling this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would intervene in their life. Almighty God, we ask you for your deliverance, for your help, for your healing, Lord, in lives that are struggling today. And Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, you be glorified in them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I want to encourage you, if you're struggling this morning, I know this, that when you're sick in your body, when you're going through a terrible trial in your life, whatever it might be, it's hard to give thanks. I want to tell you, Jesus can take care of it. Jesus can heal you. He can set you free. He can deliver. He can turn it around. And so I encourage you to come for prayer this morning. But I also want to invite those of you that would just be honest before God and say, you know what? I realize my attitude has not been right. I realize that I have not been given God the thanks that he deserves. And I want to repent of that. I want to change. I want a new attitude. If you want that new attitude, you want somebody to just pray with you and believe with you, I encourage you to come for prayer as well. We're just going to worship the Lord for a few minutes. And if you need prayer, you step out and come, would you?